This Focus with Paul W. Smith podcast is sponsored by Victor's Home Solutions. Visit victors.com, experts in home solutions.
Good Monday morning to you. Boy, it seems like forever since we've been on a normal show in a normal place. I know it isn't, but boy, last week was a busy week, a good week, as I talked about in my Monday moanin'. Thanks to Bob Talbert, God bless him. The column that runs every Monday morning in the Detroit News that I'm happy to and honored to be able to do. And I talked about just how busy things were this past week, especially Thursday. It was big. It was a big time. Meanwhile, over the weekend, not so good in Panama City, Florida, a rare same-day three shark bites. Three shark bites in one day. In Panama City, Florida. Hunter Biden's trial is over. He will go free or at best get a hand slap. Now, here's the question. And we've got the team. Mike Parsons, Danielle Mason, Rich Luzinski, Brian Morton was back helping today, too. And Mike Parsons, are you in or are you having to be at home with that problem you had?
I am at home waiting on a plumber to take care of my bathtub that won't turn off, but I am here and I'm locked in.
Okay. Well, sometimes our duties expand and you have to choose this one when you can't turn the water off in the bathtub. And I guess your wife didn't go for my suggestion, invite the neighbors in to take baths so you didn't waste water.
Well, only a couple neighbors came over. So.
Oh, they did. Okay.
Yeah, so now we can fix it. I don't know if this owning a house thing is all it's cracked up to be. I remember when I used to rent and you could get a guy to come do it for free. And
sure.
Now you got to pay out the nose for it.
Or in an apartment, there was a superintendent. There was somebody there that was in charge. You just called them and then they did all of the work or getting the specialist. So you're right. There's a... You know, we've been raised to believe that owning a home is the epitome of success and what you want to aim for. I certainly grew up that way and have done that, but I can fully understand these days people looking at other options. I really can. Hey, the Hunter Biden thing, it all depends on how much they want to let us all know that everything's been rigged, meaning Donald Trump's trial in a very... unfriendly place with unfriendly people, or the Hunter Biden trial in his hometown with all friendly people, probably friends and relatives, and having the president come by and the first lady every day. So they have to weigh that. They realize if they let him go free or just get a hand slap, people are going to say, well, this is obvious, even dumb people. So I'm not sure where they're going to go with this. I've always thought that Hunter, I've said it on the air, would be the sacrificial lamb if necessary to protect his father and all the nefarious things his father has definitely done in terms of business and cashing in on being back when he was vice president and now letting his son do it while he's president. Be that as it may, we'll find out very quickly. This isn't something I don't think. I mean, unless they say, take several days, so it looks like you really worked on it. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
Caitlin,
go
ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I think closing arguments are going to start within an hour, and I can't get a good beat on this stuff because I thought Trump was going to walk on all charges or at least be a hung jury. To me, it seems like the evidence and the eyewitness accounts are stacked up against Hunter Biden, but like you said, there's a lot of variables, and the Bidens are very, very powerful in Connecticut.
Yeah, I think
as well as the United States.
The only thing he has to worry about is how much they were willing to sacrifice him.
Right.
And it was real easy for the president to say, "No, I won't pardon my son." Well, he knows he's not going to have to pardon his son, so that's an easy thing to say. Let's go. Let's move on. Caitlin Clark not going to the Olympics. Does that hit you the same way it hits me, which is like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it seems like ever since she left college, it seems like the WNBA and the basketball world has been trying to knock her down a peg. I know there are no rookies on the 5-on-5 team, but there's a rookie and a college player on the 3-on-3 team. I guess that's a new category. And her stats are better than both of theirs. And I think the sources say that they don't want, they're worried about reaction to of Caitlin Clark's fans to her limited playing time. But what a missed opportunity to continue to grow and promote the women's game.
Dave Portnoy said, quote, "How dumb are these people?" End of quote. I will absolutely agree with Dave Portnoy. Now, they didn't take the number two ranked person, and I think she's ranked number 16th or something. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I don't follow it all. But the reality is there's no one getting more attention, positive attention, for women's basketball than Caitlin Clark. And to not use that in sending her to the Olympics, they're sending someone to the Olympics who's hurt, and I don't even
right.
think has played this season.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The other person you're talking to, a woman named Erica Ogunbowale, who's like, yeah, like you said, she's like second in the league in scoring, which is another head scratcher. But yeah, I mean, I don't know how you don't send your biggest superstar to promote the women's game on the world stage. I mean, yes, she's not as dominant as she was in college, but she's still holding her own. And this almost feels like, I don't know, this kind of feels like she's not in the club yet, or they're trying to make her pay her dues, or well, someone's trying to.
She's paying the price for their jealousy. They're jealous.
Right.
Instead of, they should be kissing her feet and thanking her for what she's done for women's basketball in a very short period of time. They've been screaming to get more money, screaming to get more people watching them.
Right.
Screaming for all those things for years, and they finally got it through Caitlin Clark.
Her success is their success, right? I mean, there's more
right.
people watching. There's more people buying tickets.
The WNBA, as it looks right now, does not deserve Caitlin Clark, but there's no other place for her to go.
Right, except maybe Europe, but obviously that's not the big show like the WNBA is.
Yeah. It's very unfortunate. It's very sad, and it gives a bad taste in my mouth. When I watched that one woman knock her down, I thought, what is this, the prison league?
None of her teammates came to her defense either. And
like guys
I don't know
would. Yeah.
Yeah, like I don't know if that's the difference between the men's and the women's game, because I'm one of those people who just kind of started following it once Caitlin Clark fever, so I'm not super educated on it. But you would think if somebody knocks down any of your teammates like that when they're not looking, let alone your star, there'd be at least one or two people getting in the face of the person who knocked them down.
Right. But maybe that is a man and woman difference. I don't know, honestly.
Right.
You know, that's, I don't know. The air show, Selfridge, U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds, I hear were fabulous. Mark Ackles coming up. And thanks, John Swickliff, for following through and getting me tickets. I could not use them. I had to try to still get better, and I am much better than I was. There's a story in the paper today about more roundabouts, yay or nay. I've mentioned this before. The Michigan Department of Transportation had me do a recording on explaining roundabouts. That at least up to a year or two ago, even though I did it 15, 20 years ago, or whenever roundabouts first came around, it was still being used in driver's ed. They
right.
were still using the video idea. They must have replaced it by now. What do you think? More roundabouts, yay or nay?
It took me a while to get there with roundabouts. I absolutely hated them. And I don't want to be the, well, once you learn how to use them, they're great type guy. But now that I do know how to use them, I actually prefer roundabouts.
Interesting, because I know there are some people who are that agree with you and love them, and then there are those who still are confused by them and concerned. And I'm not making light of it. I'm not making fun of them. I understand it gets confusing, and then there's mm-hmm. a lot of moving parts, and until you get into the groove, it is a little overwhelming. But to one last note before we take the break here, Doris Biscoe.
Oh.
The trailblazing newswoman who worked as a reporter and anchor for Channel 7 for more than 25 years sadly passed away Friday. According to the station and the story in the Detroit News by Myesha Johnson, Doris was 77. She was, as Mike Murray put it, the general manager at Channel 7. She was a true professional in every sense of the word, a dear friend to so many, colleague at the station. She was just She always, I did not know her well, met her, of course, over the years, but didn't know her well. She always seemed like a great person, and she certainly did a fine job in news. Doris Biscoe, gone as of Friday at the age of 77. This is Focus with Paul W. Smith. It's Monday, a relatively normal Monday for the first time in a while, and we're glad to be with you here on WJR. It's got a nice beat to it, doesn't it? Well, if you're listening on stream, you don't know what I'm talking about. That's the music they play into introductions. You can stream us at WJR.com, and I sure hope you will. You can do it next door, down the block, or in another country, and I hope you will. And then I hope you'll also check in for our podcasts. If you can't be here between noon and 2, and I know that's troubling. I still run into people all the time who tell me they miss me in the morning and can't listen noon to 2. So I say, stream us. Get the podcast. And we'll be most appreciative if you are able to do that and listen in. All righty. Meanwhile, we can always follow Ingrid Jacques, too, the columnist now from the Detroit News to USA Today. So you'll actually see her column sometimes in the Detroit News, but I like to read it in USA Today in honor of her great accomplishments. She wrote a column most recently about President Trump being right about Hunter's laptop from hell. We all know that Biden claimed Russian disinformation. You know, I don't know why people haven't figured this out yet, because it started with the Clintons. Whenever they point a finger at you and say you're doing something, realize that there are three fingers pointing back at them, because they're already doing it. That was a lesson. I don't know, Ingrid, did you remember that lesson with the Clintons back in the day?
Oh, thanks for having me on again. I think that's a good analogy. And it just, this whole incident, just, it was disturbing to me on several levels. But I think most of all, just the fact that this laptop, Hunter Biden's laptop, is very real. It was used in court last week by federal prosecutors. And this is the same laptop that 4 years ago we were told by pretty much everyone in the media and by Biden himself and, quote, disinformation experts, intelligence experts, that we should just ignore this whole story that the New York Post broke about this laptop.
Right.
But it was real. And I just think the whole situation is just, it gives credibility to people's doubts about the media and what they're hearing. And I just thought it was important to point that out.
Well, it's very frightening to realize there were 50 former national intelligence folks, 50 who lied with them. And that's frightening. It's one thing to have the institutional media continue to run the water for the Democrats and liberals, because that's what they do and always have. But to have 50 former national intelligence folks saying this is a Russian plant worries the hell out of me. I'm sorry. It just does. But meanwhile, the president was given a very raw deal in a courtroom he could not have gotten justice, in a city he could not have gotten justice. He asked to move. Now, juxtapose that to the Hunter Biden case that now is going to the jury in his hometown, with his mother showing up every day and probably cousins and aunts and uncles. And Hunter Biden is, you're going to hear it here first, it all depends on how much they need to use Hunter to protect the president. But if they can get away with it, Hunter Biden will be free and clear after the next few days. Now, they may say to the jury, okay, we have to take several days to make it look like we really thought about this. But Hunter Biden's not going to get in any trouble. And if he does, it'll be a slap on the hand, and they'll do it only because they know the world is watching to see what kind of a judicial system we have, the way it treated a former president, and the way it treats the son of a current president.
Sure. I mean, this is pretty incredible times right now. But, I mean, and it is true, though, Hunter is still facing additional felony charges for not paying his taxes. He will face trial for that. So even if he skates clear here in the gun case. There is still another trial there. But I do still think it does look bad that we have a sitting president's son who is facing several felony charges. And you're right, there's the case of a former president who I think a lot of people don't feel like he got a fair trial. But the fact this is all happening just months ahead of a presidential election is just really going to add to the tensions that are already out there.
And if they can drag it beyond the election, it won't affect, in their minds, President Biden getting reelected, which is how it happened the first time, by pretending that the computer did not exist, and now everybody knows it existed. I don't know why there isn't such anger.
Well, there should be, and I think there is by a lot of people. But the folks who want to support Biden, no matter what, and I think it's less they want to support him, but there's so many on the left that just have such a hatred for Donald Trump that they'll go to these extremes to defend Biden. And that's what happened 4 years ago. I mean, you had top media organizations like NPR pretty much saying, oh, we're going to ignore the Hunter Biden laptop story because it's, quote, a distraction, because it might actually help Donald Trump. That is not what the media is supposed to be doing. And you had, you know, like we've already talked about, all these intelligence officers, so many other people just on board with this. And so I think a lot of that's going to come into play again this year.
Well, but it's going to be interesting to see. And it all comes down to, in my opinion, it all comes down to how much they feel they need to sacrifice Hunter, because I always felt he was the one that they could easily sacrifice to save the president. So that'll have a role in them finding him not guilty in this case, but who knows in the other cases. But we know they'll probably go beyond the election, so they won't affect the election. But anybody who watches our current president in action can't possibly genuinely think he could in any way serve another term as president of the United States. I'm not anti-aging. I had a grandfather, Grandpa Harry, I loved. He lived to be 100.
Sure.
I wouldn't have wanted him to be president at 90, but I can tell you this, he was way sharper than this man is today.
No, and you know, I think you're 100% right, and it's just from a humanity standpoint, it's very sad to see Biden's decline, but it is obvious. And even though Trump, who's, I think he's almost 78, people don't see him, don't see age as the same problem for him as they do for Biden. It's not, but it's pretty crazy that this is our reality right now, Paul.
It is crazy on many fronts. I mean, it's good that we can laugh about it, Ingrid, because otherwise we would be sobbing.
Right. I think there's a mix of both going on. So
I think you're absolutely there. You loving your job at USA Today?
I am. It's going very well.
Well, we're glad you're still around.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate
it. It's easy to read you. Ingrid Jacques, columnist now, USA Today, after leaving the Detroit News, after being very successful there as well. As we continue in Focus on WJR. You just heard Wallstrom Marine commercial a moment ago, and I want to just point out that we're on the road again this Thursday. This Paul W. Smith Focus show will be broadcasting from Wallstrom Marine in Traverse City, and then on Friday from noon to 2 from Wallstrom Marine in Harbor Springs. So I'm looking really forward to seeing the Wallstrom family. Those are wonderful, wonderful people involved there, and we're just thrilled to be able to go back year after year and broadcast. Again, Thursday from Traverse City, Friday from Harbor Springs, Wallstrom Marine. Our friend, the freelance journalist, all-around good guy, friend for a long time, Daron Levin, I am happy to say, is back home safe and sound from Israel. Daron, I never hid the fact that I was worried about you going, but I'm glad you're back safe and sound.
Well, I'm glad to be back in one piece and in peace. It's good to be back at home and in my own bed. And it was a very intense trip and very informative, very important, because not only from what I learned, but also just from the whole idea of showing up on behalf of the people and on behalf of the state of Israel. It's very important right now because people are feeling very isolated and very alone there.
Well, it is a time, generally speaking, when these sorts of things are going on. Israel is at their best and at their strongest. There's some cracks in that now with Benny Gantz, a prominent member of Netanyahu's war cabinet, walking away, resigning.
Well, this is one of the characteristics of democracy. I think Gantz has his own political ambitions. I think he'd like to be prime minister. He'd like to get Netanyahu out of power. He sees himself as a former chief of staff of the IDF, as somebody with a lot of credibility. Right now, the IDF is struggling to regain its credibility because of the breakdown on October 7th that led to so many deaths and kidnappings and murders and atrocities of all kinds. So I think that he sees this as an opportunity. Whether he's going to be able to turn this into actual political gain for himself, I think is questionable at this point. I wouldn't say it can't happen. Anything can happen. But again, this is one of the functions of a robust democracy, which people should remember is the only robust democracy in the Middle East right now. So as tough as this is to have to face this, it's also a characteristic of what makes Israel really a beacon to democracies and to free people everywhere.
Doron Levin, freelance journalist back home from Israel, where he sent back many great reports to the Detroit News and elsewhere. And we really appreciate that. You found some gems. You found some fascinating behind-the-scenes stories that you shared with us. Meanwhile, obviously in the news big time now, four hostages have been rescued in an Israeli daytime operation. They planned it very well. They built little models of the apartment buildings they were going to. Four hostages rescued, but my fear now is for the other hostages that are still imprisoned by these monsters, Hamas, because I can't help but think they're going to take out some of the anger they have, because at least 274 Palestinians were killed in the operations, hundreds others injured from what we're hearing. Of course, the Gazan authorities never distinguished between civilian and military casualties, which is unfortunate. But what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I share your apprehension. It's one of the first things that crossed my mind as soon as we learned that the four were safe, is that others that are being held are in much more danger now because their captors know that Israeli military is resolute in finding them and bringing them home, and may decide that it's just better for everybody involved. God forbid that they should decide to murder them. They've murdered people already, so there's no real qualms on their part to doing that. I think part of the reason for holding them in the first place was to try to get some leverage for a ceasefire or for the Israeli military to withdraw, which I don't think any credible Israeli government can do at this point, because the Hamas basically has promised that it's going to repeat what it did on October 7th, and no morally sane country could really acquiesce to that. So I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's worth noting that the hostages were being held by civilians, civilians who were being paid. It turns out that according to the according to what I've read, and there'll be more investigation into this. These were people who identified themselves as journalists. So I don't know what kind of journalists these are that are holding hostages captive, but it really throws more doubt on everything that you read from the Gazan side in terms of what they say is happening inside Gaza, the numbers, the activities. It puts everything really very much in doubt.
I got to ask before we let you go, Daron Levin, and it goes back to Benny Gantz, but it goes back to you walking among the people. Benny Gantz said that Netanyahu prevents us from moving forward to a real victory in Gaza. What do the people on the street feel Netanyahu should be doing differently to get a, quote, a real victory in Gaza? And what does a real victory look like?
Well, first, it's important to understand that a lot of the negativity and opposition to Netanyahu is political. So he has made a coalition government with people on the right and with some of the religious factions, and that's made it difficult for him to survive. But I don't think anybody can tell you that they would be managing any of this any differently than he's managing right now. So everything has to be taken in perspective and in context to understand why it's being said.
Well put, as always, and I am so glad, as Adina is, your lovely wife, I'm so glad you were back safe and sound.
Oh, Paul, it really meant a lot to me the whole time I was there, knowing that you're in my corner and always have been in my corner and been in Israel's corner, and it's quite meaningful, and thank you. Thank you very much.
I'll always be in Israel's corner. It doesn't mean I always agree with everything they do, but I don't always agree with anything anyone does.
Exactly.
Okay.
But thank you for that. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Daron. Daron Levin, freelance journalist, all-around good guy, just back from Israel, where he did some wonderful reporting. I wish he didn't have to, but he did, and it continues, unfortunately, with no end in sight from what we can see. Heading toward 1244 WJR. Always great to talk to Mark Hackle, the Macomb County executive. There's a lot going on that we need to talk about. Of course, we know now that Selfridge has been picked to host the KC-46 squadron in January. I thought that took care of everything. That did not take care of everything. There's a lot of work being done by lawmakers, local leaders, to secure more contracts and missions for Selfridge. And there's no one better to talk to about this than Macomb County Executive Mark Hackle. I thought we were on easy street, Mark. I guess not.
Yeah, the sustainability of Selfridge has come a long way, that's for sure. So we're pretty excited about some of the new news. And, again, just coming off the heels of the great air show they had out there, Selfridge is always something wonderful to talk about, our hometown air base here.
Yeah, I got to tell you, and you and John Swickla made it possible for me to go, and I wasn't able to because I'm still trying to get 100% with the schmutz that's going around. But the air show I heard was fabulous. You get the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds involved, and you know you're in for a great show.
Oh, yeah. So they did a phenomenal job. Everybody talks about the Blue Angels, but I'm going to tell you, Thunderbirds are equally as exciting to watch them. And they even had a stealth bomber fly over as well, which was that really was a crowd pleaser.
Yeah, that's so great. Way to go. That was I got to make it next time. But thanks to you and John Swickla again for making it possible. And people had to love it. It went well. Everybody was safe. It was all good. But we do have, along with the good news that Team Selfridge is getting $3 million to expand its mission, and Senator Gary Peters and yourself and a whole bunch of other folks are working on that, I didn't realize that since the A-10 fighter is being retired, there's no replacement slated for Selfridge. So getting what we got, the KC-46A, those state-of-the-art refueling tankers to replace the KC-135s being retired, is not enough, I think, for people who are concerned about the size and scope of what will be happening to our Selfridge.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. Again, we're fortunate to hear the news. You know, they're going to get a replacement for the KCs. And again, those tankers are important, obviously, for the military. But, you know, we had 8. Now we're getting 12. That's obviously an addition. But there's no question. These A-10s go away. That's going to be a huge deficit for Selfridge, you know, the men and women that are out there. And, you know, we're looking at that in 2027 as, you know, as they're starting to move up. But no question about it, whether it's Gary Peters, you know, obviously myself, the governor, all of us are pushing forward to fight for fighters. We're still trying to get people to realize the importance of that base, not only as a national asset, but this is definitely the place that when you talk about training, military training operations, there's nowhere east of the Mississippi that has the capabilities that Selfridge has. And so it is, without question, the place that they need to land those fighters when they're looking at the next round.
I just don't understand why we seem to have to fight to get that point across. Who are we trying to impress? The Air Force? The White House? Who are we trying to impress here?
Yeah, that's it. It's the Air Force. And again, the commander at the Air Force is the one that Secretary of Air Force, he's the one that makes that final decision. And you know, we haven't been able to get across that line yet. We were close twice with a couple of different missions that could have landed here. You know, we got a lot of support coming from the generals out at the base. If anybody ever wants to know a little bit more about Selfridge, I'll tell you what, just do a search on the internet of the Selfridge Advantage. And you're going to find many opportunities to look for something that talks about Selfridge Advantage. But we did it was about 100-page documentation that we took out to Washington, D.C. to make that pitch for the fighters here. I'm going to tell you, no one compares to that anywhere throughout the entire country. And so the question becomes, what is it? Is it a political decision? You know, we know there's some questions about the runway. We're looking to, you know, change the runway issue that might be a concern. I don't really believe that is. But we're even going to have that crossed off or checked off the list as a problem or a potential concern for somebody to not give us those fighters. So, you know, there's a lot of work that's been done. We're going to continue to do things. But the sustainability of Selfridge, we've come a long way. And I said that at the beginning when we started talking. Because right. There's always been talk about base realignment and closures, those BRAC studies. And Selfridge was always one that looked at. But I'm going to tell you, they don't look at it as a closure of a base anymore. They realize the importance of it. But those fighters are going to be incredibly important to have out at Selfridge.
Well, I could never figure it out, because I think I always thought some politics was involved, not just the Air Force, but the White House. And I would think that the president could influence this. And I mean, we're a Democrat-controlled, Democrat-run state across the board. So I thought that as Democrats, given the current resident of the White House, that we would do okay with these things. But it doesn't seem to have helped us.
Yeah, well, we had a chance even when Trump was in office going after the fighters as well, and we fell short. With that being said, people tend to look at Macomb County as that swing county, part of the swing state that can go either way. So if you look at it, politics, purely politics, you think that somebody would want to give us a lift here in the state or in Macomb County to say, you know what, hey, we're definitely going to get those fighters out there. But make no mistake about it. I always talk about, the work that Gary Peters is doing, and whether it was Governor Sutter, Governor Whitmer, they've both been on board with really pushing for those fighters. So we're very thankful. And again, I know the men and women at Selfridge are incredibly thankful for all that are out there pushing for those fighters at Selfridge.
Mark Hackle, Macomb County Executive Extraordinaire. Give our best to John Swickley, your right-hand man. And we're not even going to ask you about running for governor. I know you're looking at a few things that might or might not happen ahead of time. See, aren't you happy I didn't even ask?
You're a good man, Paul. Thank you.
I'll talk to you later. As we continue Focus on WJR. Hope your Monday's going well. Hope you had a great weekend. It was an action-packed weekend, and for that matter, week last week. Just the beginning of all the great things that are going to be happening this summer here within the sound of my voice. First of all, the team is here. Mike Parsons, Danielle Mason, Rich Luzinski, had some help from Brian Morton earlier. Mike Parsons is at home waiting for a plumber. Do you even know how to turn the water off at your house if you have something that just keeps gushing and you can't turn it off at the faucet?
Not only that, I know how to turn down my hot water heater, too, so I'm not burning energy there, too. After that, I'm out of ideas.
All right, well, that's good.
Which is why I had to call a plumber.
That's good, because in most of the houses over the years I've lived in, I've known where the water shutoff is. I'm not sure where it is in this house, but anyway, I'll figure it out eventually. But I want to congratulate. We love people who do good things for people, and that includes Michelle Murphy and all the members of Variety Detroit, including my Kim. They did their Variety Bikes for Kids this past Thursday at Jimmy John's Field. 25-plus years of Variety Bikes for Kids. A record year providing 180 bikes. Usually it's about 150 to children from all over Southeast Michigan. And it's only possible with the support of generous donors and sponsors who sponsor a bike, lock, and helmet for a child. Children are treated to a baseball game, hot dog, popcorn, on-field experiences, and more. And children receiving bikes are from Variety programs and 13 partner children's organizations. So I just want you to know about good things that good people do, and that includes Variety Detroit, the children's charity. In fact, their 35th annual Variety Covan Golf Classic is coming up Monday, June 17th. For a milestone year with a return to the venue where it all began, Tam O'Shanter Country Club in West Bloomfield, with a double shotgun start at 7:45 in the morning and 12:30 in the afternoon at Tam O'Shanter Country Club, 5051 Orchard Lake Road, West Bloomfield. I believe, Michelle Murphy tells me, that they have a few foursomes available. You can do a tee and green sponsorship, $2,500. That includes the foursome and recognition. They also have dinner tickets if you just want to go to the dinner, $150, available for the reception beginning at 5:30. And all the information is available at www.variety-detroit.com. That's variety-detroit.com. It's their 35th annual Variety Covan Golf Classic. And I like to point out good people doing good things for other people.
And you can't understate how huge it is for a kid to have a bike.
Unbelievable. And these are kids who, believe me, would not have a bike if it weren't for Variety. So to be able to do that and do as many as they've done over the years, it's just astonishing.
Congrats.
And I will point out, I'll use this opportunity, if you haven't gotten involved with the Paul W. Smith Golf Classic, amazingly, in our 21st year, that's coming up July 29th at the greatest country club around, the Country Club of Detroit. It is a fabulous country club, a fabulous golf course, meant a lot to some pros, great pros, including Arnold Palmer, the Turning Point. We've got that coming up July 29th, and I hope that you will go to paulwsmithgolf.com, paulwsmithgolf.com, and become a sponsor. We need help. We do every year. It's never easy asking for money, but this is money that will go to help, I'm told, something like 55,000 kids each summer, and the children's charities that we support through the Paul W. Smith Golf Classic. So please, if you run a company, if you run a business, if you're an owner, a manager, and can make these decisions, look at the list of sponsorships that are available, and please join us. Again, you can go to paulwsmithgolf.com, paulwsmithgolf.com. All righty, a couple of news things. Three shark bites in Panama City, Florida. Very rare for a same-day strike like that. Hunter Biden will go free or maybe get a hand slap. It all depends on what they have to do to protect the president and not look like what it is, which was a done deal when he came home to go to court, just as it was a done deal that they made it so when President Trump had to go to New York and couldn't get a change of venue, where, of course, in New York, he couldn't get a fair trial. Caitlin Clark, speaking of not fair, not going to the Olympics. What is it, jealousy, stupidity? Dave Portnoy, he's pretty well loved, isn't he? Mike, Dave Portnoy, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, he has been controversial in the past, but he's really kind of rehabbed his image, and he's very popular. I mean, he's got a very, very loyal following.
Well, I have to agree with him on this. He asks the question upon hearing that Caitlin Clark is not going to the Olympics for the United States, quote, how dumb are these people?
Anyone knows something about marketing, it's Dave Portnoy. So I think, anything, he sees just what a massive opportunity that this is missed.
Would have been, yeah.
Right.
I say this until they prove otherwise. The WNBA does not deserve Caitlin Clark, but there's nowhere else for her to go, unfortunately. And she is handling it like a classy champ, something I don't think you'll see a lot of in the WNBA, or at least what I've seen so far now that I'm paying attention to it. I'm sure there's some great ones and great players and great human beings. Unfortunately, my view is just in the last several weeks, and I've seen thugs, but that's another story. More roundabouts are coming. Is that a yay or nay for you? You love them, Mike, you said.
I do like the roundabouts, but it took me a while to get used to them. I used to hate them. They can be very disorienting at first. I don't really know what the solution is other than just let people figure them out over a number of years like I have.
Well, it does take time because it does get a little unnerving to see all the traffic still moving, and you're supposed to just ease your way in there. Look, some people still have trouble easing onto the expressway from the on-ramp.
Right.
You know, they go all the way to the end of the on-ramp and they stop and you're behind him going, no, don't stop.
That's how you get rear-ended.
Yeah. And then you can't get up to speed, you know. 5 miles an hour, 10 miles an hour. And there are people behind you going 70.
Right.
And
that
coming
person
right
is
up
either
on you.
And that person, 99% of the time, because I don't know about you, Paul, but I always like to get a look at the person who's been inconveniencing me on the road. And I would say 9 times out of 10, they're looking at their phone or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I had that happen. I went to Mr. C's car wash around the corner, and a person pulling into the driveway was confused. And I knew I was in trouble. I mean, they didn't go forward when the whole line went forward. It's a very annoying kind of a circumstance and situation, and they were confused. I'm just going to leave it at that. Hey, for the 14th time since 1946, an IndyCar Series team finished 1-2-3. And you know, 10 of those times that it happened, it was Team Penske. At the Expel Grand Prix at Road America, Penske finished first, second, and third. Way to go, Roger Penske, Bud Denker, the whole team there. And of course, Mike Montri with the great race that we had here on the streets of Detroit. It's all good. All good. Hey, we'll be at Wallstrom Marine this Thursday in Traverse City and this Friday in Harbor Springs, Wallstrom Marine. Love that family. Love those folks. Going to be spending some time with them this coming Thursday and Friday. And with you here in Focus on WJR. It was nice hearing Crystal Klemperer-Palko in her own voice telling you about family, the next generation taking over and doing a great, great job. Well, there's something here that I need some clarification on. I know who to turn to. The Vice President of Government Relations for the Detroit Regional Chamber, and that's Brad Williams. Apparently, I've not been paying too much attention to this, but our Attorney General, Dana Nessel, is either or wants to sue the the fossil fuel industry. Let me get the very latest on this, as our chamber has signed on to a letter urging reconsideration of the Attorney General Dana Nessel's fossil fuel lawsuit. Brad, welcome to Focus. Good afternoon.
Well, you flatter me, Paul W., and I hope I can help you clarify some of this, because it's a little unclear to us, too, as to what's going on here. But the best I can explain it to you is, you know, I know all of us drive down the lodge on a regular basis and see these billboards for trial attorneys who are promising that you don't have to pay until we win. And I don't know about you, but I often wonder who the clients for these trial attorneys are. And it turns out that the client is going to be the Department of Attorney General here. The Attorney General has put out a request for proposals to private litigators, you know, whether they're from Michigan or anywhere out in the country, to sue the fossil fuel industry. And there's really no parameters, as far as as to what this lawsuit could look like. So the fossil fuel industry could mean Exxon, or it could mean your grocery store, because, you know, the plastic bags that you get from your grocery store are made with petroleum. And so the Attorney General has really opened up a Pandora's box here for trial lawyers to use the resources of the state of Michigan to put our small businesses at risk. And that's what we're concerned about.
Brad Williams, forget about the fact. Simply imagine how many people would have died over the last few hundred years if we didn't have fossil fuel. Why doesn't anyone bring that up? In winter, we would have lost hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people who would have frozen to death. It's fossil fuel that they want to make this bad thing has been so significant to our evolution and our success at this level as humans. You got to give them a little bit of a break here, Madam Attorney General. And I'm going to ask her to come on the show and explain it to us.
Yeah, and I think, Paul W., there's no question there is room for climate change voters in this conversation. In fact, I'm a climate change voter, but I think this is a step too far. If we are going to have litigation against the fossil fuel industry, let's have the legislature discuss it. it, and let's have the legislature appropriate funds for a specific case. We have very gifted assistant attorney generals who are state employees who can litigate these cases. But to open it up and say to, you know, every trial attorney in America, bring me your best case, is really putting every mom and pop business here in Michigan at risk. And I don't think that's what we want for our future economy. Even the most hardcore climate change voter, I don't think that's what they really want for Michigan.
Well, Brad Williams, Vice President, Government Relations, Detroit Regional Chamber, signing on to a letter urging reconsideration of the Attorney General Dana Nessel's fossil fuel lawsuit. You know, the difference between those billboards we always see, and there seem to be a lot of them, so they must be very successful attorneys, that you don't pay unless we win. There's no attorney, I can imagine, on the planet that's going to take on that big of a lawsuit against the makers of, the providers of, the purveyors of, the users of fossil fuels, that's going to take this case on for free.
Yeah, listen, I mean, these are 30% contingency fees for a lot of these litigators. So, you know, it's no small purse at the end of the rainbow, but these are also taxpayer resources that we're talking about. So this is, we have to question too, whether this is an appropriate use of taxpayer resources so that private litigators who may not even be Michiganders are getting rich off of this. If we in fact find that there is a case that we should be making as Michiganders, let's have Michiganders and our assistant attorneys general be making that case. Let's not be pawning this off on out-of-state litigators.
Madam Attorney General told Cranes at the Mackinac Policy Conference that a number of states have filed lawsuits against oil companies, and there are, quote, responsible parties, end of quote, that ultimately will owe billions of dollars to Michigan for climate change impacts. At least six states, plus Washington, D.C., have sued. But can you imagine, I mean, where would Michigan be if we didn't have fossil fuels in terms of competing both nationally and globally?
Well, you're spot on, Paul W. I think we have to think about who is the fossil fuel industry. The fossil fuel industry, you know, yes, it is the oil companies. It's also Ford, GM, and Chrysler that has supported millions of us through our upbringing. It is grocery stores like Meijer and Kroger who, you know, use, you know, it's petroleum that makes the plastic bags that we get at the grocery store. It's companies like Dow up in Midland who rely on petroleum. The fossil fuel industry is not just the gasoline we put in our cars. It is the products that we make every single day. And so to single out one industry that's been revolutionary in growing our economy over the last 100 years and saying they are the bad guys is just faulty logic.
Well, there's a lot of, it depends on who's loudest out there, but I got to tell you, I've been getting information because I'm very much involved in plastics, given my spokespersonship, if you will, for water, AbsoPure, for years. And so I started looking into that, and it's astonishing because once you get into the details, the carbon footprint of using boxed water or even glass bottles for water far exceeds the value of plastic bottles that can be recycled. The question and problem is we need to recycle them. That's up to us. We need to
Right.
recycle them. If we recycle them, we don't have this big problem that people are all talking about regarding plastic. But there are problems using boxed water and bottled water that are problems that need to be dealt with and aren't easily fixed. It's not a question of recycling those boxes. They're no more recyclable than some plastics that people are complaining about. But that's another story. This one I'm going to ask our executive producer, Mike Parsons, to reach out again reach out for the first time to our Attorney General, Dana Nessel. I'm going to ask her to come on and explain what it is that she is trying to do here, and what will be, what will indicate that we've won, I guess? And I guess maybe based on what you just said, Brad Williams, we got plenty of great attorneys around here. Why would she want to open it up to the country?
Yeah, I think therein lies, you know, the number one question is why open Pandora's box? Why let this be a choose your own adventure for litigators across the country to find a way to make a case against Michigan businesses that can harm them? If there is a case, let's bring it to the legislature and let's ask them to fund it. But let's not just let litigators across the country find a way to make Michigan businesses suffer, and then find a way to fund it. That's not the way we should govern.
No, and let's face it, there are going to be bad law firms that will take a shot because they throw everything up against the wall, see what sticks, and if it sticks, they make money. So, I mean, there's going to be no shortage of people who want to help out.
We see it every day, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Well, thanks for bringing this to our attention and for the chamber having the courage, Sandy Baruja, the whole team, to sign on to a letter urging reconsideration of our Attorney General Dana Nessel's fossil fuel lawsuit. Brad Williams, Vice President, Government Relations of the Detroit Regional Chamber, thanks for your help. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul W.
We continue in Focus on WJR. Attorneys for the Oxford High School shooter, who is serving a life sentence for killing four classmates in 2021. Let's not just say four classmates. He killed four Oxford High School students, 16-year-old Tate Meyer, 17-year-old Madison Baldwin, 17-year-old Justin Schilling, 14-year-old Hannah St. Juliana. He also injured seven other people in the shooting. I think it's important we always remember them. Well, his attorneys have filed a motion to withdraw his guilty plea and correct what they say is a, quote, invalid sentence, end of quote. Boy, I'm all ears on this one with our WJR senior news analyst, Marie Osborne, explaining what the heck all this means. Marie, good afternoon.
And good afternoon, Paul. Ethan Crumley's attorneys say his trial attorney, who was Paulette Lufton, was not effective in investigating, quote, cognitive adaptive deficits and other mitigating factors, and that made it impossible for Crumley to fully understand what he was doing when he pled guilty. The lawyers say the problems were caused by possible alcohol exposure in the womb, saying they found witnesses who saw his mother, Jennifer, binge drinking while she was pregnant. And in addition, his new appeal lawyer says that they found evidence that does not support a life without parole sentence because of Ethan's struggles during childhood and, of course, the mother's alcohol abuse during pregnancy. So a big part of the sentencing motion focuses on the defense's mental health expert, a man by the name of Colin King, who the appellate attorneys say was unprepared and didn't have experiencing doing Miller evaluations. You'll remember that Miller evaluation is required.
I don't remember. Could you help me remember what that is?
Yep. So a Miller evaluation, if you're under the age of 18 and you are facing a life sentence without the possibility of parole, you must have something called a Miller hearing, and they bring out all this evidence to place a case or to present a case that perhaps you could be rehabilitated in prison and therefore have an end date to that sentence. In other words, that it's not life without parole, that it would be with the possibility of parole. Everyone who's under the age of 18 who faces that has to have that. And so did Ethan Crumley. So now Judge Kwame Rowe, who heard the original case, he'll review these requests. He can hold a hearing later this month. If the judge accepts the shooter's motion to withdraw the guilty plea, the entire case has to go back to where it was in October of 22 before he pled guilty. If the motion for the invalid sentence is accepted, there will be another one of those Miller hearings. The judge can also deny both motions, Paul, as you well know. And you also know that James and Jennifer Crumley have filed intents to appeal as well. This story is not over.
No. And this is the fact that they're appealing and that I didn't know you could rescind a guilty plea. If you said I'm guilty, I didn't know you could rescind it. And what they're trying to prove is he wasn't at 16 with cognitive adaptive dysfunction and whatever else they want to say, mental illness, which, by the way, anyone who goes and kills people has all of these things. Mental illness, for example. Nobody who's of right mind goes around and shoots a bunch of people. So I don't know why that even comes into play. But this is so close to what I always have railed against and haven't had to lately, and that is when they get a killer who has killed a bunch of people and they try to mitigate the price that that killer will pay by saying they had a terrible childhood. Bothers me beyond what might be a normal bother. Because you know what? I know a lot of people who had terrible childhoods, terrible parents, maybe even drank alcohol. In fact, they did drink alcohol because they didn't know at the time it was bad for them, though the Crumblies did. And then to try to say they should get off or they should have a different sentence, I know a tremendous number of people who've had bad childhoods, bad parents or no parents, who have risen from those ashes and made themselves great at whatever it is they do, did not make themselves turn into criminals. So to talk about the fact that he had a bad time growing up, and they have seven witnesses to attest to a bad time growing up, whatever that means, and his mother's fetal alcohol content on their wedding day or anniversary, drinking champagne or whatever else she drank, childhood struggles, and his mother's alcohol abuse during pregnancy. In a word, no, it's two words. When I say it's three words. I don't care. He killed four people and injured seven others. I don't care what excuses they come up with. Should we let him go because he had a bad upbringing? No, I think we go the other way and make sure that if he had a bad upbringing and he's in such bad shape, we don't want him walking this planet again. Those are my thoughts, not yours, Marie. Thanks for being with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Marie Osborne, WJR senior news analyst, the Oxford High School shooter's legal team asking for a resentencing as we continue on WJR. Well, on your way to making each and every day count, each day is a gift. We appreciate that. We remind ourselves of that as well. Meanwhile, QTR, we don't know how much we have, QTR, quality time remaining. So make each day count. If you've been thinking about really wanting to do something, do it. If you've been thinking about reaching out and calling to speak with someone, do it. Don't put it off. I speak from experience. And, well, just trust me when I say, I meant to record the final Pat Sajak sign-off from Wheel of Fortune. I'm sure I can find it online. But he spun the wheel on Wheel of Fortune one last time after 41 years as the host. And I know he shared a heartfelt message with his audience. I'm just going to have to go back and look for that. Boston Celtics take a 2-0 series lead in the NBA Finals. Did you hear about that New York couple doing something that I have never done? Maybe you have. They were magnet fishing. They have a big magnet on the end of a line, and they throw the magnet into the water, and they bring up whatever they can bring up, and they brought up a safe, which looked awfully heavy, so it must have been really good fishing line. And then they found $100,000 in cash while magnet fishing in New York City. And the police said it's not tied into any robberies or anything. So, I don't know. It looks like these people get to keep the $100,000. And there's a note out, too, about therapy, which often gets a bad rap, but can substantially boost happiness. In the latest, the pandemic intensified the mental health crisis, often promoting people to start therapy. So, apparently, it is helping people. We're going to make sure your afternoon is great with JR Afternoons with Chris Renwick. And I haven't had a chance to talk to Chris in forever because we haven't done a regular show in a while. Chris, you all ready to go?
Oh, yeah, Paulie. How are you? It's nice
I am
to talk
good.
With you.
I've been. I was fighting schmutz, and I my voice is way better than it was, but I'm still fighting it. I'll get rid of it. Something's going around. A lot of people have had it. Now Sophie tells me she has it. I haven't even been around her. She's been traveling. So anyway.
Well, it sounds like you gave it hell. Nice job.
I did. Dr. Collins at Henry Ford actually took care of me. You know, there's a lot of stuff going around. And that if you check in with your doctor, you're going to find out what it is and what they found might work for it. But Joshua Collins, my fine MD over at Henry Ford, has put the kibosh on this thing. My problem is I always wait too long to go to the doctor, hence the lower back problem that's making it hard to walk, the torn rotator cuff in my right shoulder that's making it hard to live, and I wait. I don't know what's wrong with me.
I think I've done the same stuff, where you wait too long, and then it gets worse, and they go, you know, if you just would have come in a couple weeks ago, we would have been better off.
Yeah, women do that way better than
men. That's because they're smarter.
They're smarter, and they live longer, and that's another one of the reasons why they live longer. Anyway, are you an Apple expert, or is that Dave Rager?
Dave is a Apple purist. I enjoy their products. I use them in almost every aspect of my life. I got the computer. I got the phone, the whole deal.
I got you. Yeah. I got all that, too. And it's and I mean, sometimes I hate them, but they're so easy to use. I use them. But they're widely expected, if they haven't already, to announce a partnership with ChatGPT, the maker of OpenAI, and unveil the first batch of generative AI tools that could reinvigorate iPhone sales. I don't even know what that means. Do you have any idea what that means?
I don't. I didn't know iPhone sales need to be reinvigorated.
Yeah, I don't know. What is AI going to do? Will AI return the phone calls that we don't have time to return, and it'll be us?
Oh, that's a good one. I like that.
Hi, Chris. It's Paul W. Just wanted to touch base. I'm returning your call. Everything okay?
Right. I like that.
I don't know.
That would be a time saver for sure.
It would be a time saver.
Or to take the call from people you don't want to talk to.
Yeah.
You know, you've made a certain list. And so,
yada, yada.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Nice talking with you. Wait, Chris, I didn't tell you what I needed to tell you. Click. Yeah. No, I like that. That's a good idea, too.
Not a bad idea. Yeah. All right. So, 3 shark bites in Panama City, Florida. That's rare, same day, but that's scary. Caitlin Clark not going to the Olympics. That's jealousy and stupidity. Dave Portnoy said, quote, how dumb are these people? End of quote. Pretty dumb. I don't think the WNBA deserves Caitlin Clark, but there's nowhere else for her to go at this point. Front page of the Detroit News, more roundabouts. Are you for that or against that?
We're going to talk about this story today, as a matter of fact. I'm a big proponent of the roundabout, so yeah.
Well, I'll remind you that years ago when roundabouts first started happening, I was approached by the Michigan Department of Transportation, and I recorded a video and audio on roundabouts that up until at least a year ago, they were still using in driver's ed, because I'd have people say, did you do a tape on roundabouts? I go, well, yeah, I did a long time ago. So I don't know if they're still using it. I haven't heard
lately. That's a testament to your staying power and your voice. Like, that's pretty impressive. I mean, you know, voices change over the years, so that's awesome.
I think it's a testament to me doing stuff free more times than not, although I don't know if I did it free or not. Probably
that you did a good job. It lasted. That's
well, it lasted. Yeah. Sorry to see one of the legendary broadcasters, Doris Biscoe, passing at 77. I hope that you were around to be able to see
legend.
Her. She was a legend, and there are many, and they're going to be passing, but we're going to hang on to them. Gotta go. Regards, Paul W. Smith.